Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's November 14th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. Just look around. That time is the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And I have to admit, my wife even said we'd had a breakdown in the message thing. We couldn't get our messages, but we are now getting messages to there. So go forward with it. In an emergency, my cell phone number, text it first because of the robocalls, 316-619-4886. You can find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now remember, we're a national satellite radio program which simulcast live on on the net internationally. It's on some YouTube stations, and so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base tonight, which is in places like Helsinki, Finland, Budapest, Hungary, Sydney, Australia, Vienna, Australia, and of course cities in the United States, such as Indianapolis, Indiana, which came in second to our largest group of listeners tonight, Seattle, Washington, Detroit, Michigan, and St. Louis, Missouri. This week, yep, Wichita, you're up there on top. You're not letting anybody beat you. So Wichita, Kansas, do pray about getting in more involved with the mission church, especially because Thanksgiving's coming. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, we ask you to protect Israel against the ongoing missile attack and ask that you just stop it, Father, if it be your will. I also pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will. And so please give us all out, give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name tonight, pray, bless this program. Amen and amen. Well, tonight it's a very special program. It's a very special subject. You know, I have been wanting to do a program on this for some time, but really I was unsure if I just wanted to do it myself or with my wife or get somebody else on here to talk to you folks about this subject. Tonight, we did bring on a guest. He's calling the subject tonight, Remembering Not to Forget. So we bring on back on with us one of your favorites, Steve Henderson. He's been coming on radio for a very long time. Steve is the administrator of Oklahoma Attorney Resources, which provides legal help for the poor and the less fortunate. That's a big deal, folks. In addition, Steve was led by the Spirit to start up the Sure Word of Prophecy Ministries. Steve has an extreme interest in Bible prophecy, and he's been diligently searching the prophet's writings for additional light to share with the scoffing world that indeed there is one who knows the end from the beginning. Many years ago, Steve obeyed the call to teach the prophetic word, and his videos are being watched from people all over the world. Go over there and check it out. In the last 30 years, Steve has served as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper for Yeshua's body. His website is surewordprophecy.org. It's a great resource for you to stay informed and watchful. Well, Steve, are you there with me?
Pastor Dan, it's great joy to be back again on the program.
Well, maybe you're there and I just can't hear you, but...
You know, you are a little fadey too, so I'm going to try to talk very loud. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. He can turn you up over there if...
okay, I'll speak in my normal tone here.
Yeah, speak in your normal tone. He'll adjust it.
Away yourself, Pastor Dan.
Okay, well, how am I now?
That's better. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, you're coming in loud and clear now, so absolutely, our wonderful producer is Frank's got it under control as normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people ask me, say, well, why don't you just go to a podcast? Well, number one, that we wouldn't be on live radio then, but I don't want to do all the work that Frank does, so I'm very happy to have such a wonderful producer. Anyway, Steve, I'm glad to have you on, and this is a special subject with me, and I pray you bless the people with it. I think that you will. So anyway, take us into this.
Well, Pastor Dan, thanks for the invitation again. This is a subject for me that's very dear to my heart and very special, and I kind of get disillusioned why some people think very negatively about something that God blessed and has made so special and is gifted to mankind. And the title, Remembering Not to Forget, as you know, Pastor Dan, the word remember is very, very vital in Scripture. In most every time you see something being recalled to remembrance, it's because of something that happened that is very significant enough to remember and to help build your faith and know that there is a God who spoke the world into existence, and he will move his mighty arm on your behalf. And so when the word says, remember how I led you these 40 years out in the wilderness to test you, to prove you, to show you what's in your heart, whether you will walk in my law or not, and remember that man will not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And these sandals that I put on your feet didn't wear out 40 years. So I want you to remember this when you get into the hard times and know that I'm able to deliver you from all things more than what you can ask or think about. So remember this situation. Remember let me try to remember a verse here that I was going to remember, and I forgot it. Now, is that pretty good, brother?
Sorry. That's a funny one, brother. You're talking about remember, and then you forgot the scripture. You sound like me.
Old people, you know what that's all about, Pastor Dan. You're the same age I am, 64. It's called old timers,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
okay, so remember
like that
you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out through a mighty hand and an stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord God has commanded you to keep his Sabbath day. And so every time you find this word remember, even when Yeshua in the New Testament said, remember Lot's wife, he was taking you back to a situation that's very, very paramount and should be a transitional point of faith in our own lives. And so when you say remember Lot's wife, there's some reason why we had to go back and look at that story. And so when we see the word remember in Scripture, we should not forget that which has been commanded to remember. Thus, the commandment that I feel most of the Christian sector has forgotten is one of the greatest commandments, and there's several reasons why I think we should remember it, and I'd like to quote it now, and then we'll go from there. How about that, brother?
That's just great. Go right on, brother.
Okay. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, do not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your stranger within your oxen, or your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Wherefore he blessed and hallowed the seventh day. Now, when he put in his government of love, the word remember, number one, we need to recognize that word remember takes us back to the very creative act in the beginning. So the Sabbath was rooted and created in the garden, in the act of creation. There were two institutions, brother, that were foundational and relational. Number one, the marriage unit, and number two, the Sabbath. And so on a Sabbath, after he had created the heaven, the earth, the sea, in 6 days, he did three specific things on the seventh day, and that's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And we recognize that in those passages of Scripture, he did three things. And number one, he blessed that day. He set it apart for holy communion with him and humanity. And number three, he also rested himself on that day. Now, you'll find that that is seriously significant, because in the seventh day, he set that day apart from all the other six. And he blessed that day. And what God blesses, we need to pay special attention to, because there is, guess what, a blessing behind the idea and the concept of the Sabbath. Number two, it was made in the beginning of the creative act, and therefore, it was made for man. And Yeshua said very clearly that, look, I'm going to make this for you. This is going to be made for you, and you're not going to be made for the Sabbath, but I'm going to make this for you, and it's going to bless you, because I own the owner's manual, and I have made humanity just exactly how, and everything I made was perfect, and I'm going to put this ceiling cap of my creative act on the seventh day, and I'm going to bless it, I'm going to set it apart for you and me, and I'm going to rest on it myself to set a precedent or an example. That, and we understand that in Scripture, when Yeshua walked the earth, and it was his custom, as his custom was, he was very, very clear and concise about the Sabbath that he created. He called himself the Lord of the Sabbath, making him the ruler over the Sabbath, okay? And that the Sabbath was made for man. It was a gift to humanity. You know, brother, we are so blowing and going in this world. I don't know about you, but it seems like things are speeding up. Or am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And let me throw something into this mix. Yeah, Yeshua said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, and he's Lord also of the Sabbath. But, you know, without the Sabbath, and I'm going to use my wife as an example, she just, you know, headlong crashes and works at everything all the time. If there wasn't a Sabbath and a commandment by the Father to keep it, then she'd work all the time, and she'd work herself to death, as would many people. And I'm not picking on Sunday worshipers in any way, shape, or form. It's okay to worship any day of the week. The word's worship. The Sabbath key is rest. Most that worship on the first day of the week, they may faithfully worship and go to church on that day, but most of them still go home and do physical labor, whether it's mowing a lawn or doing this or doing that. They don't really take that time and get set apart from the world, and that's what it's about. The Sabbath day is set apart from the world for man, so we have a day of peace. Back to you.
Excellent, brother. Yes, it is set apart from the garbage and the activities. You know, our lives are so fast-paced, but there's, you know, so many ways and activities we give our time to and command our energies, our minds, our attention. You know, fast food, lightning speed internet, remote control, and this instant gratification stuff. The world is wired that way, and we're just spinning out of control, and it's evident by everything that's going on in the world, brother. And I think that it's time that we stop and pause for peace, and if we really recognize what kind of a blessing that the world would have if they remembered that commandment, which God commanded not just to the people of Israel, but number one, the Sabbath was created long before there were ever a Jew or Israel was created. So in the beginning, the Sabbath was made for Adam and Eve. And long after Adam and Eve, you know, when Abraham showed up, there was quite a long time it spanned before there, but Abraham kept the commandments and the judgments and statutes. And so there was a law in place before Abraham, and he kept those laws as Adam kept the laws, and was very, very aware in the beginning that Sabbath would be a special day between Jehovah and him and his wife. And, you know, it was just something that there would be a weekly reminder that there is a creator that is Lord over you, and that you are to celebrate that creative act by recognizing that thing which he says, remember. And I think that we have lost sight of this great commandment that is actually not something that's negative, but it's very positive. Brother, I was an atheist. You know, when I came into the Bible, I didn't have a clue what the Sabbath meant, you know? But when I read the Ten Commandments, I understood a little bit about how you shouldn't be keeping, you know, putting other gods before you or bowing down to images and taking God's name in vain. But when it came to remember the Sabbath day, I had not a clue or a point of reference. So when I went into the Bible, it took me straight back to the creation story. And this is exactly what the word remember was put in that commandment for, because it had already been kept, and people had already been full well aware. Even in Exodus 16, when God led them out in the wilderness and they to finally find rest after 400 years of bondage, he told Moses, look, I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you and for 6 days, and on the seventh day, it's going to be a special day between you and me, and it's going to be a test to see whether you will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, I'm going to rain a double portion, and when you go out, and on the seventh day, you'll have something to carry over on the seventh day. So these miracles for 40 years to recondition Israel to know that they were to follow God, they would find rest, a physical rest, and a spiritual regeneration week by week to remember that there is a creator over them and that they're very, very special in his sight. And he included mankind in on the Sabbath for a relational time, a seventh of your time, if you will, because we're so busy, and that's the government that Satan has set up. We're in Satan's world, and things are speeding up so fast, we need to understand what God meant when he said, remember the Sabbath day. Amen, brother?
Amen. I'm going to throw in here again, and I'll probably end up coming in on this whole thing, but I got to say this. You know, when I first came out of the world also, because you brought this up, but when I first came out of the world, I started studying the Word. And I figured, you know, well, what should I do? I'll do the Ten Commandments. That's easy. As somebody that was an outlaw, I needed to be an in-law for the Lord, right? Okay, so I got to the Sabbath commandment. So I couldn't find any change for the Saturday Sabbath anywhere in the Bible. I did all the research over and over and over. Let me get to the end of this. Over and over and over, couldn't find any change. I went and looked, so I said, okay, it's got to be historically. Yeah, I found out about Constantine the Great making his edit in 321 AD about changing it. But here's another bigger shocker for everybody that doesn't want to do the research. People don't realize that they follow the Catholic Church, and here's how so. They have a thing called a catechism, and that's whenever a convert first comes into the Catholic Church, they hand him this little booklet, and it tells you questions and answers. There's a question in there that says, okay, which day is the Sabbath day? Well, the answer back is, it says, well, Saturday is the Sabbath day. Then the next question up says, okay, well, why do we worship on the Saturday, on the first day of the week instead of Saturday, the Sabbath? And they say, because the Pope changed it. That's in a Catholic catechism. And then the Catholics in their own magazines laugh at Protestants. They say Protestants claim that they stand on the Bible and the Bible only, and that's why they're different than the Catholic Church. But they don't realize by merely worshiping on the first day of the week instead of the Sabbath, as the Bible calls for, without any scriptural change, that they are following the Catholic Church instead of the Bible. Back to you.
Yes, they have some very bold-faced remarks, Pastor Dan. And they say, we command you under sin because you follow after the authority of the Catholic Church by keeping Sunday. If we do our homework, which I did, and it was quite exhaustive, and in fact, because I had several ideas that had been brought to me from people of opposition that I had to sort through. And, you know, one of them is, well, the law, you know, we no longer abide by the law,
right.
Which didn't make a bit of sense to me. And what is even more strange about it is a lot of them have the Ten Commandments posted in their churches. But, you know, the one commandment that God says, remember, that most of the Christian sector has either forgotten about or they just have never heard anything about it. And I will guarantee you that very few will be speaking. How many sermons outside of Sabbath-keeping community have you found in the churches that are in existence? In Tulsa, there's a whole bunch of churches there, but I would venture to say that very few Sabbath sermons will you find, because it's not they're not lined up and they know it. There are so many statements from religious leaders that are theologians who recognize that, that Sunday is not the Sabbath, and that the Sabbath was changed by the tradition of the early church, is what they're propagating. But in the New Testament, we find time and time and time again the verification of Sabbath keepers in the New Testament. Yeshua himself said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Now, here's an argument, brother, that I don't think many people consider. If the Sabbath was made for man, and Jesus is a creator of the Sabbath, which he is, by him all things were created, and he created for man, why would he want to specify the seventh day and set it apart, and then at some point in time change his mind and change it to the first day of the week? There is no scriptural authority. In fact, in the New Testament, you find the word Sabbath 63 times, but the words first day of the week, which is related around Sunday, eight times. And the arguments that they have concerning the change of the Sabbath are very, very minuscule. Number one, they will quote you Colossians chapter 2 and talk about the Sabbath and the new moons, which are shadow things to come. You know, all it says, brother, there is, let no man judge you in these things. And so, therefore, if it's a shadow of things to come, it doesn't say that these things are done away with. It says there's shadow of things to come. They are prophetic in nature. They point to something. And so they malalign the scripture, number one, when they quote that scripture, and they'll quote that one to death to you to prove that the Sabbath was done away with. But yes, everything is pointed to the substance, which is Yeshua himself, which is a creator, which points back to the creative act of God. He is a creator, and he set apart the seventh day, and he himself, Yeshua himself, blessed it, he set it apart, and he's for man and him. And he also rested on it, which he did all of his earthly life until he died.
Okay. And, we're right like a minute and 2 seconds away from break. Okay, folks, you can find Steve at Sure Word of Prophecy, but let me leave it with you like this. The first day of the week that they talk about in the Bible, they point, say, see, there's a first day of the week meeting. The first day of the week starts at dark on the Sabbath, and the meeting that they're talking about was a Haggadah meeting, which was the end of the Sabbath meeting, which they all did, met on the evening. Like we go to Sunday, people go to Sunday church on Friday, or Monday or Sunday night. Well, that's what they were doing on the Sabbath night. And so when he says early on the first day of the week, that was just right after dark on the Sabbath, and it was a Sabbath meeting because it was an end of the Sabbath meeting. Anyway, we got a lot more for you, I'm sure, because between Steve and I, which we both love the Sabbath, and we're trying to give it to you, we'll talk a lot when we get back in about 4 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with dealing, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he was brought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize closing of the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned.
Decorating eggs dates back to the spring rituals of pagan sun worship thousands of years before Christ. The spring fertility goddess Aphrodite, Eostre, or Easter, was thought to have turned a bird into a hare, thus the Easter bunny laying eggs. The most important motif or decoration pattern was the symbol of the sun, crosses, triangles, rosettes, and stars. The egg representing fertility has played many different roles throughout the ages, and has been associated with the pagan sun worship of many civilizations, including Greece and Rome, the Germanic countries, and even in Japan and China. One Egyptian account relating to the mystic egg of the Babylonians says that a very large egg fell from heaven into the Euphrates River. When the egg was hatched, out of it came the goddess Venus, or Astarte, from whom the name Easter is derived. Today, on the date known as Easter, which is celebrated at the exact time as the pagan fertility rites of antiquity, Easter egg hunts are held by traditional Christian churches around the world. Many times, religious leaders, fully aware of the abominable practices associated with Easter, fail to sound the alarm. The Bible says that they will be held accountable. It is no coincidence that the pagan practice of decorating eggs has crept into the organized church, and is now associated with the resurrection of Christ. It is part of an age-old scheme to substitute the ways of the heathen in place of the true worship of the Creator. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, it's just 2 weeks now away from that wonderful holiday I think every American get on and every kind of faith can get on. Please, I hope you do. It's called Thanksgiving. And that's the day that we thank our Creator for all of it. And that's who we're talking about today is our Creator, folks. Anyway, Thanksgiving, we thank our Creator for all the things He's given us, all the blessings to be in America. Boy, but you wouldn't think it was a blessing to be in America the way you hear some of the left talk, right? But anyway, this day is the busiest day of the year for the Wichita Mission Church. But it's 2 days because we do it on Friday, and then we serve out again a Thanksgiving meal on Friday. Now, the Thanksgiving meal we serve out on Thanksgiving, the folks all get to come through the line. They pick out all the different wonderful stuff that they want, and their plates are overloaded, and it's just wonderful to see, and the smiles on their face. We give them a family relaxed Thanksgiving. Then Friday, they all come through again, but only on Friday. We serve up all the leftovers where there's plenty of, because we make sure, and if there isn't, we even cook more. But we make their plates and serve them to them. But we usually do, last year we did over 125 people each day. So that's 250 people, or 250 plus plates of food that we served. We went through 275 pounds of turkey. This year my wife says we need at least 300 pounds of turkey, and we're way short on that. In fact, really, if you want to know about Thanksgiving, it's usually the last week of Thanksgiving that donations come in for it. So, but that drives us crazy, actually, and we don't always know that that's going to happen. So we're praying about it. We ask you to pray about it. We need to raise at least $700 to get this job done. So I'm appealing to you folks that have always donated, but I'm also asking you folks out there that never made a donation to the Wichita Mission Church, pray about supporting us in this. It's something that you can get a hold of. What better thing than bringing somebody in and allowing them to share the meal that you all folks cherish every year? At least I hope that you still do, although the world's taken Thanksgiving away with all their sales and things, that the younger generations aren't even latching on to Thanksgiving. It's a good tradition that should run in your family. But I ask you, so pray about it. Pray about a donation to it. We really do need your help. You know, in fact, we're talking about our Creator. We're talking about Yeshua HaMashiach. It's recorded in Luke 14:12-14. He said this. Then he said also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends or thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense will be made unto thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. What it's saying is do something for people that can't pay you back. That's what it's saying. And these people can't pay you back, and not all of them are homeless. We're in a very, very bad part of town, and so it's also the poor people that come in that even have roofs that are looking for help, but let alone for this meal. So pray about it. Make a donation tonight. Now, how can you do that? Well, you can donate online or over the phone or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help with the poor or Thanksgiving, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air, and you are listening to us. So pray about it, folks. And if you make a donation for radio, mark it for radio. And now we're back talking with Steve Henderson about the most wonderful day of the week, the Sabbath. Are you there,
Steve? Amen, brother. And let me just give you a word of admonition. Remember the loaves and the fish, okay?
Yeah,
God will provide your need, brother.
Well, he has.
Good job you're doing. I'll tell you what, I wish we could all could grasp what you're doing a little clearer and do it ourselves, you know? We do it in our certain ways, but God bless you for what you do there, brother. Well, okay, we'll get back into the Sabbath. Something very strange to me when I first started out, but as I looked at the commandment itself that said, don't do any work, I thought, man, what an awesome commandment this is. You mean tell me I get to take a day off during the week? And so I just ran with it, brother. I didn't see anything negative about it. And as I did my homework, I began to recognize what confused me was most people had not acknowledged that commandment as being valid. So I had to find a fellowship of people who acknowledge the Sabbath, and I wound up fellowshipping for a time with the Seventh-day Adventist people, and they were bold enough to proclaim the Sabbath as still valid. And so I really commend them for their views on the Sabbath and upholding that, because it is something we need to be promoting. There's so many different positive things with it, but in the depth of it, though, there's some very deep theological constructs here that we need to understand. Number one, in all of the Ten Commandments, brother, why is the fourth commandment real special? Number one, it has more words than any other of the commandments. I think it's 96 words, if I remember correctly. But in it, it's the only commandment out of the ten. Now, the first one says, you will not have any other gods before me, you know? But it doesn't identify who we're talking about. And the same way with the third commandment, it says you won't make any graven image of the second commandment. The third one says, don't take the Lord's name in vain, but still it doesn't tell you who the Lord, who God is there. But in the fourth commandment, it nails it. And, so, and that's what he did in the very creative act on the seventh day in the beginning of creation. He nailed it. And he put a stake in the ground and said, this is me. I'm the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. Therefore, you know, I'm setting this day aside for you and me to keep holy and don't work in it. You know, take a pause for peace. You know, you need to take a break from the action. Because if you're wound up all the time, you're eventually going to wind up worn out and no good for anyone. And that's exactly what this system has done in the world, brother. It's gotten us a place where we are so far in debt that we have to work day and night to get our bills paid off, to get more stuff, to leave with somebody else when we die. You know, there's a good song out back in the early 70s. It's an old rock song, and I don't want to highlight rock, but the words of it struck me, and it said that people run and run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking. It's going around to come up behind them again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. And then one day you find that ten years have gotten behind you. No one told you when to run because you had missed the starting gun, and Satan has got us so wrapped up that God had put a safeguard in the very beginning that each week we would come together to do the celebrative worship and creative celebration of his creative act, that we have a creator over us, that he is the Lord thy God that sanctifies us. In fact, in Scripture, Pastor Dad, you find throughout not only did he bless that day, but he sanctified it. Well, what's that mean? Well, later on, he told Israel in Ezekiel chapter 20, he said, moreover, I am giving them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Sanctification and the Sabbath are tied together. And so each week we are to come back with a weekly reminder that we have a Lord over us. That means a ruler over us. And he commands that we keep the seventh day holy and that we do no work in it. And I thank God so much for this commandment, when all the other 220 people were working in my company and one of the jobs I had, I took a stand for the Sabbath, brother, and I had to stand before five pagan administrators in that company and explain why I wanted them to give me the Sabbath off. But you know what? Because I was a good worker and I was very persistent, I was honest and loyal and got there on time, they said, you take your Sabbath off. And so if people call the Sabbath a bondage, which I've heard many people say, oh, you're in bondage to the Sabbath. Well, those 220 employees, they were working, and I was the only one that didn't work. Who's in bondage and who wasn't? You know?
I like that. Let me throw something in here, too. And most people all believe that, you know, we're grafted in and we're Israelites now, right? Anyway, yeah. So let's just throw this one in there. It says, speak also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. That is so absolute. He knows his people by those who keep his Sabbath. And it is a sign. And that's the one indespicable sign. I mean, you can, people can go back and forth, whether you like the Jews, hate the Jews, whatever, or the people, the Israelites, however, but no other people has been able to stay recognizable and together but by that one thing. You can tell them by who keeps the Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath throughout their generations, and they're still keeping it. And so you can still tell them they're set apart. We're different. In fact, let me go with this. When I first came out of the world and I did that study, that's what really got me into Bible prophecy, was the search about the fourth commandment. The Sabbath showed me how much the world had strayed away from the Word of God when I started doing the check. And I realized it. And so it was very hard. Like you, we tried to find some place that kept the Sabbath that we could agree with, and we did too try the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but it didn't have what we needed, and nor did the Church of God have what we needed. And so we kept the Sabbath on our own and doing the Bible study, and eventually started our own. And then later on, Messianic started becoming popular, so to speak. And then there's different groups in Wichita now that you could find. So a believer nowadays, better than 30 years ago, that's how long I've been keeping Sabbath and the feast. A believer nowadays has some more choices out there. Not saying there's anything wrong with the Church of God or the Seventh-day Adventist, period. But I'm saying there are more choices out there, and there's an awful lot of home groups also out there that have that keep the Sabbath. Back to you.
Yeah, I see a lot of them straining in advance and swallowing camel too, brother, you know. And so I try to gauge my faith as what the Bible clearly reveals. And the Bible clearly reveals there shouldn't be an argument about it, that the Sabbath is not the Sabbath of a Jew, but it's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, okay? And so it's not Jewish. Long before there were ever Jew, Adam and Eve were not Jews, and so that's not a very valid argument. Neither do the three scriptures they provide to exhibit Sunday keeping, in which one you alluded to, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it talks about them being in the upper room and many lights in the upper chambers when Paul preached till midnight, a guy fell out and broke his neck, you know. But anyway, evidently, throughout the New Testament, in fact, when Yeshua pointed to the end of the age, brother, and this is something I want to discover with you for a second. He said that, you know, for then there will be great tribulation such as ever was since the beginning of the world, and there will be this time, and that time been shortened, there'll be no flesh saved. And so we're looking at that contextually down at the end, and then he tells us, you know, and when Yeshua tells us to pray for something, there's a reason for it, okay? When he says pray, that, look, the fields are out there and they're ripe for harvest, so pray that the Lord will send more laborers into the field. So we're to pray, we're commanded to pray. And when we're commanded to pray, if we will do that, things will work out extraordinarily well with us, and we'll be involved in that work in a very significant way. And that's when you get blessed as a believer, is when you quit hearing the word and begin to do the word. And because it's not the hearers that are just, but it's the doers which will be justified. And so if you look at the Sabbath and you obey it, you're going to find, number one, that you're going to find rest. And we understand that the argument is in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, they were resting on the first day of the week, and they were breaking bread in the upper chamber on the first day of the week. Well, that breaking bread argument isn't really all that significant, because in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 44, it talks about the disciples being together daily and breaking bread daily from house to house. So, you know, there's really no significance for the bread-breaking thing. And then I'll take and look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, which regards the Corinth church as being admonished to lay aside some money on the first day of the week. So when Paul came down back through to pick up for the poor, he wouldn't have to go around and gather. He'd just have to get in that one location and pick up the money and go. Very evidently, in Scripture, the Corinth church was a Sabbath-keeping church. It wasn't; they weren't keeping Sunday. They were keeping the Sabbath. And how do I know that? Well, if you go over to Acts chapter 18, and you go over to verse 1, you're going to find out that Paul went into Corinth and was there for a certain amount of time. In verse 11, he said he was there a year and a half. And in Corinth, he was preaching every Sabbath, persuading the Jews and the Greeks. So for 84 consecutive Sabbaths in Corinth, Paul was preaching to the Jews and the Gentiles the good news of the gospel of Yeshua. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 13, in verse 42 through 44, there's a story there that's recorded that they were there in a certain location, and the whole city, the Gentile city, came together to hear the word of God. They were there one Sabbath, and in the next Sabbath, the whole city came together on a Sabbath to hear the word of God. So very evidently, there is evidence of Sabbath keeping in the New Testament. Some propagate that the Sabbath is not reinstated in the New Testament, but we're admonished to pray that our flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. And so when we're told to pray for that, and there's something there underneath the surface that we need to recognize. I believe, brother, that the Sabbath is going to be an important issue prophetically at the end. And what are your thoughts on that?
Amen. Let's go with what the, you know, at one point, remember, there's an in Revelation, it talks about the angel flying, and what it's saying, it says, remember to worship the Creator.
Yes,
and
you give glory to Him, for the hour His judgment has come. It's a judgment hour message, and He's admonishing us. Go ahead, brother, and say that again.
So, anyway, so my point is, so He's pointing to worship of the Creator. So worship of the Creator is all about the Sabbath. I think it will and is an issue, especially when you have in Revelation. And it also says, when it talks about, here is the patience and faith of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. Well, they defeated by their testimony, but the point is it all points back to who follows His commandments. And the commandments have never been done away with. That was also part of the study that I did. The Old Testament commandments, none of that has been done away with. There's no proof of that. There's not one jot or one tittle will no wise pass from the Torah until all has been fulfilled. Not the heavens and earth pass away. Where you find the heavens and earth don't pass away till the end of things. And so the Sabbath is there, and the people will take hold of it. And there is a movement. That is what the Messianic movement and the Hebrew movement and all that is about, is going back to His commandments, going back to the faith that was delivered by the apostles, that was delivered to the apostles, and the Sabbath is a key part of that. That's how He knows us, by those who keep His Shabbat. Back
yes,
to
I think prophetically, we find it in the future. We find Yeshua pointing to the Sabbath and praying that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath, during that time of great tribulation, reinstating, in my opinion, the Sabbath commandment. It doesn't do away with it. It just reinstates it. Secondly, the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, in the context of the new heavens and earth, there is going to be a memorial of our world and His creative act, even in the new heavens and earth, where it says in Isaiah 66, 22 and 23, that in the new heavens and earth, which He will make, where your name will remain before Him, well, then it says from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship before Me, saith Jehovah. So in the new heaven and new earth, there will be a memorial that points back to the memorial of His creative act in the very beginning. In the seventh day, we have a Creator who is over us, who is Lord over us, and every week we're to commemorate His creative act and celebrate His creative power in our life to sanctify us, to make us holy, to lead us in the right direction. But Satan there also has a church. He also has a church who boldly says that I have changed the Sabbath, and you Protestants say the Bible is your only guide, but you contradict yourself, and we command you under sin by keeping authority of the Catholic Church and the whole Protestant world. What happened to the Protestants who are to protest? Well, they have come right along in line with the tradition. And you know what Yeshua said about the tradition of man? In vain you worship Me, teaching for the doctrines and the commandments of men. The commandment of the key, to go to church and to fellowship on Sunday and forget the Sabbath is an error, and I implore my brothers and sisters to take a good look at it, because there is a big blessing behind it. He blessed that day, and I'm telling you, since I've been keeping the Sabbath, I don't know about you, brother, but I don't get sick, and I'm 64. And my health is really good. I really attribute a lot of it to taking a day off during the week to where my battery recharges. I get rejuvenated spiritually and physically strengthened. Because I'll tell you what, I work myself to death during 6 days. But on that seventh day, it's my favorite day of the week, brother. I don't know about you. Go ahead.
Yeah, amen. It is my favorite day. And let's go with this for a minute. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. A lot of... folks, there's a lot of people out there, they'll say, you know, in fact, there's some Jews in Israel that says that they have a thing called Sabbath elevators. They can't press a button because they're afraid they're going to break the Sabbath. They clearly built a fence around Sabbath. You're not going to break the Sabbath by clicking on a light or hitting a button. But in the same light, too, you're supposed to have physical rest and spiritual day. The day is supposed to be set apart. We enter into that rest. In fact, it is within this commandment that tells us that we need to have a holy convocation, that we need to assemble with others and worship. So we do that. I don't know about Steve, but this is how we do it. You know, on Friday night, we gather at the close of the last day of the sixth day of the week. We gather for the Sabbath. We welcome in the Sabbath by welcoming Yeshua, and we light some candles, and we have a Bible study and praise and worship. But then we close off the world. We forget about bills during that day. We no longer worry about President Trump. You know, well, we might say a prayer for him in prayer circle, okay. But we close off the world, and we close off those troubles. I don't care if the rent's coming due on, you have rent and it's due on Sunday. You shut that door. You have it taken care of before Sabbath. My wife rushes around and makes sure all of the house is clean and the church is all cleaned up before Sabbath. So we rest. We shut off the world. And then we get into the Father. And then we get into family. People don't take enough time out for their own families. And then during that period of time, we get into family. And we have family. So the next day in the daylight portion, we'll have family gatherings, and we visit with our sons and our daughters and grandchildren, and with the Father also. But we set apart that day truly so that when we come out on the Sabbath, like you said, Steve, we're completely geared up. I'm ready to fight for the next week because I'm going to go into battle, and my strength is renewed, and my mind is renewed, and the Father has had a chance to talk to me. I mean, how can you talk to the Father if you don't take time to listen to him when you have all that junk going through your head during the week? How much time do you really take out for him? He does call for us to have that day. Even scientists say the body needs a seventh-day rest. Back to you, Steve. You got about 2 minutes.
Yeshua has given me a great rest, not just a rest that's commanded physically, but he gave me a rest where I know that when I'm in trouble, when I have trials and tribulations, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so I find that rest that is very significant that I never had, brother, in Yeshua. And I'm so thankful that he set aside a day for me and him that we could get together and just commune, you know, without any distractions or obstructions. And if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on his holy day, and call the Sabbath as light, the holy day of Jehovah, honorable, and you honor him, and not do it your own ways or finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you will delight yourself in Jehovah, and I will call you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of Jehovah has spoken, and what the mouth of Jehovah has spoken, brother, if we'll pay attention to it, we'll get blessed. Amen?
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Sabbath is such a blessing. You know, and my wife will even tell you, once we started keeping the Sabbath, and boy, it did show us about how the rest of the world just rushes around and does everything, and how the world is so geared to, you know, going on Friday night and rushing out and doing this and that, and then, you know, hell bent for leather, excuse the language, but it's just crazy. But once we started keeping the Sabbath, the Father really started blessing us, and we really started hearing greatly from him. And so I'm not trying to take it from a legalistic point of view, folks. You have to find this truth yourself. We can only tell you what we believe and how it's affected our lives, but the Word screams it. It's all over it. But it's up for you to make that choice and decision. And I'm sure if you have any questions, you can contact Steve or I, and we'll talk to you about it. Back to you, Steve. You've got only about 30 seconds to give your website and say goodbye.
Okay. So the Sabbath was made for you and me, and it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath. So pursue that, and you'll get a blessing behind it. SureWordProphecy.org. I do have a tab called Remembering Not to Forget. It's a study on the Sabbath. It goes through history, statements of religious folks and all about the Sabbath. Go over there and check it out. You'll get blessed. Pastor Dan, yeah. Thanks for your invitation. Hope that you'll have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, amen. And you too, brother. And we'll talk again
soon,
I hope. All right, be blessed. Bye-bye, Steve. Well, folks, getting physical rest and spiritual rest. It isn't just about working, but it's about spiritual rest. Cutting yourself off and opening yourself up to the Father, having spiritual rest. Most people really never do that. Shut the door to the world when the seventh day comes. But really, folks, you must remember there is only one true God. Yeah, He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins, and He rose after 3 days and three nights and already the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Always be a blessing to others, folks. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They really need it right now. Rocket attacks and all. But praying for the peace of Jerusalem is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.